Thank you very much. I noticed that the mayor, when you asked him if he'd like to stay.
Judy, they would like your name and address for the record, please.
Oh, Judy Mills, 8018 West Winston Way.
Thank you.
Franklin. When you asked the mayor, who can do something about this, if he wanted to stay, he said no and got out of here as fast as he could, which I think speaks volumes. This has to do with taking minutes. Now that we have somebody here taking minutes, I'd like to suggest that our minute taking change a little bit. I don't see why we have to follow the minute taking precedent that the mayor has set up for the Common Council, where nobody understands anything that the minutes have to say. They're so deployed of anything meaningful. They don't tell you what the citizens had to say. They don't tell you what citizens who spoke. They don't give you their names. They don't give you any information about what actually went on at the meeting. If you read the Common Council meeting minutes, you have no idea what took place, and that is very intentional. I would like to suggest that our minutes actually reflect what takes place here, and that any citizen that gets these minutes can fully understand what every one of you said, because it's in the minutes, what every taxpayer that takes the time to show up here, that their comments, their names and their comments actually show up in the minutes, that they're not just dismissed as five taxpayers came and spoke, and you don't even know who they were or what they spoke about. I think that's very insulting to the people that take the time to come. And if the mayor objects to us actually following Robert's Rules of Order in terms of taking minutes, I think that he should then actually have to force us to stop doing that and explain to us why he's going to force us to not take correct minutes. I had contacted an attorney, and because I thought there were so many things that were going on in Franklin's government that just seemed not right to me. I really thought they were illegal. And so I listed them to the attorney, like things disappearing from our meetings, our minutes of meetings, minutes being actually without ever being read, with the meeting minutes not being read in front of this group of the council. You just okay minutes, and you have no idea if what's in the minutes are right, wrong, or whatever. And the Common Council does that. First, one of the orders of business is, let's okay the minutes. Everybody in favor say aye, and you go down the Common Council, and they all go aye, 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 aye. I've never heard anybody say no to the minutes. And the minutes don't say anything. So I mentioned that to the attorney. I said, what about things disappearing from the minutes? I mentioned a whole bunch of things to him, and much to my surprise, he said that what they are doing is legal but not ethical. And he said, you would hope that you would have an ethical government operating in the best interest of the taxpayers. And he said that they can do that, but that it is not something that you would recommend a government do or operate in that fashion. And I said, oh. And he said, just interestingly enough, he lived in a city that was doing the same thing, and the taxpayers got so tired of it that he said, we just got done voting our entire city council and mayor out of office. And he said, we elected an entire new government. And he said, we're so pleased with how they're handling our government and the things they're doing and how open they are with information and their record keeping. That's another thing I asked him. I said, we don't keep records on anything. Anytime you go to the city hall and you want to know who...
Judy, I've let you go on way beyond.
Okay,
so please wrap it up because...
So at any rate, I would like us to be an ethical group here.
I'm going to object to that. I find myself to be extremely ethical, and I don't see any ethics problems on this commission. So please keep your comments in a more correct manner.
I think you are following the mayor's lead in how you, not that you are unethical, but that when you become an alder person, you do what what's been done in Franklin for years and years and years, and it's just been habit. When we had one mayor that... Okay.
6 minutes, 7.
Are you objecting to being and doing things ethically?
I'll comment when you're done. So please wrap it up.
So at any rate, I would like to see our secretary take notes on everything that's said, and I would like to see our minutes reflect what every taxpayer said. I'd like to see them reflect what everybody on this council said in terms of things. I like Mike Barber made a very interesting comment on that taxpayers wanted things to be open and whatnot, and you actually asked that something be done so that the taxpayers would not question what we were doing here and that things be opened and et cetera. And I commend you for that. So I think that it just would be my suggestion that we do something different than the Common Council.
I think your point has been made about the minutes, and now I'm going to make a couple comments about that. For one thing, we now do have a new person taking minutes. I would like to give Rigolo an opportunity to get his own style that meets the requirements of the law that he's supposed to. And we can direct him all we want on what we want, but he takes his direction from staff, who takes his direction from the mayor. So we could say whatever we want, but that we could be overridden by that, and that's a whole nother issue. The minutes reflect the actions of the committee. They do reflect all motions, which are what really counts is for the motions. As far as the comments are concerned, when we put in there that X amount of people spoke, that's why these meetings are recorded. Anybody who wants to know what they said can go to those. Now, I don't have a huge objection to putting this thing down, but what I can see happening is the staff time involved with transcribing every single word and the fact that some of the things that you say aren't necessarily 100% correct. So
what's not correct?
Well, for one thing, you're calling us unethical, and I'm taking an issue with that. But and you've said that you made the comment about no one ever votes no. It's all I. At the council, I have voted to correct those minutes. Usually I end up getting hold of the clerk ahead of time. We correct the minutes and have new minutes in front. You can go through the council agenda and see how many times the minutes say approved as corrected. A couple meetings ago, Commissioner Shore voted no. She abstained or voted no on one set of minutes. So that statement about everyone always votes, they've never done that, is an incorrect statement.
I'll say usually.
Well, then you should say that when you're speaking as well. So we are doing the best that we can given what we're handed. And I am happy to have a new staff member even appointed, because I've asked the mayor several times to have even a temporary person appointed before Reglo was hired. And I didn't get anything.
I know so. I know you didn't. It's taken 5 months to get this gentleman here.
I think that we're not going to go back and forth.
Has he been told not to take full notes? Have you been directed in any way?
No, I'm taking the notes as usual.
Which means, because I noticed you're not taking notes
Judy,
a lot.
We're not going to have a back and forth banter of a new employee up here at this time. Give him an opportunity to take the minutes. If you don't have, you don't like how he does it the next time around, we can take that up. But we are going on 10 to 7, and we haven't even got past the citizen comment. And we have some important business that we hopefully will help the residents if we can get to the items on the agenda. So please let us do that.
But if nothing ever shows up in documentation...
There are massive amounts of documentation on the quarry actions, and I have them here, which I will be reading to you if you allow us to get to those agenda items. Please.
Okay.
Citizen comment is still open, ma'am. You may speak.
I'm Pam Kotecki, 5610 West Allwood Drive. Drexel is my backyard. I just want to say that I agree with the previous people in their statements of being frustrated with the continued extreme blasts that happen after discussions month after month after month. I unfortunately was not home on Monday, so I didn't experience that blast firsthand, but my son was home ill. And when I told him I was coming to this meeting tonight is when he went, oh yeah, I was home, Mom. The whole house shook. Some of the people talked about worrying about whether their foundations are being affected. I can tell you mine has been. I have had to fix every wall in my basement. And because one wall was adjacent to my patio, I had to dig up my patio and replace my patio. The neighbor to my left, the neighbor to my right also have had basement wall issues. My plea is that we stop talking about all this scientific stuff and figure out why on a sunny day we have this horrendous blast. And I'm sure if they have all this scientific evidence, they can determine that on certain days when the atmosphere is in whatever degree, that they should avoid blasting that day so they're not shaking our houses. We need some movement on this. I was here when the quarry was granted the right to blast further to our houses. From what my son said on that blast on Monday, if that's not even near their limit, I can't imagine what will happen to my house if you blast at the limit. Enough excuses. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Can you take the microphone over to Penny, please? Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Penny Donosky, and I live at 7985 South 57th Street. And there was a really big blast on September 23rd at 11:03 a.m., and my house shook. I was doing exercises on my bed in the south bedroom. And the walls shook. The bed shook. And things on the dresser shook. The mirrors shook. And we received no advance email prior to blasting. Nothing, nada. And, you know, the quarries need to be measured. They need to be measured now and not by some stupid idiot drone, which isn't going to even measure it accurately. And we need to get this done. And we need to get it done by someone who is not affiliated with the quarries. Because I am here to tell you, they were beyond their limits a long time ago. I don't know. Maybe we have to get a lawyer. Form Rescue 2.
people.
Thank you for your comments. Are there any other citizens that would like to comment? Seeing no other citizens, I'm going to close the sitting comment period, and we're going to move on to the regular items of business. The first item is hearing. There are no hearings. This next item is item 6, business, business item A, review and discussion on matters pertaining to citizen complaints, blasting data from Payne and Dolan, and on Stantec City Consultants quarry monitoring activities and information. In your packets this evening, you have the Vibratech Payne and Dolan September and the Stantec letter dated September, but that is the August events. And I totally agree that we have it would be nice to have the apples to apples comparison, although Stantec does take their sheet and put in the Payne and Dolan monitoring, and then they put the Stantec monitoring, they do the ground vibrations. I am not familiar with this format as far as the, you know, ground vibrations is a PBV in inches and seconds. I've seen different averages on ground blast and let's see, there's two different sayings on this thing. Ground vibration and air blast are the two. So I know ground vibration is PBV, but I don't know what's being measured for air blast, and I'm not seeing a column in here for air blast on here. And so if I did pull up the city attorney's section on air blast, and that is, air blast results when the operator's blasting shall not exceed 123 dB and at least 85% of his blast within a single calendar year measured at the residence or an inhabited structure closest to the site of the blast, which is not owned or controlled by the operator. It doesn't appear that we're measuring for that I can tell. Do you know the answer to that, Rachel?
No.
So, if we have blasting limits in the PDD and we have one ground vibration, that shall not exceed 0.30 inches per second at least 85% of the blast in Singer calendar year. And then Stantec gives us what their highs and lows were. So they given us the average on in their letter of 0.105 and 0.099. So these are quite a bit lower than what's allowed. And the comments that are made from the citizens correlate with, they say they can't imagine if it's at that high what it would be like. So, I would agree with that. If it was that high, I'm not sure what would happen. So all these numbers are really good, but what do they do for us? I don't really see where they're doing much of anything. So do you have any comments, Reglo, on this?
No.
Okay. I had asked Clint if he could kind of discuss what some of these columns are. Clint, are you willing to do that at this meeting so you can help us?
As far as the Stantec report?
Either one. We have PPV, NTAO. These columns don't really mean anything because there's no titles to them on here.
Yep. Not a problem.
Okay.
Clint Leninger, Payne and Dolan, do you want me to?
That would be great, yes.
As far as explaining what some of these items are that you're looking at, so PPV is the peak particle velocity. That's what actually measures the ground movement. AO would be the air blast or air overpressure. NT would mean no trigger. The seismograph didn't go off.
But it doesn't
that means there wasn't any detectable vibrations at the location.
It doesn't mean not taken, though. It means
it means there was no vibrations detected there. So these monitors run 24/7. So.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, not to take the comments from the floor, but she does have a valid point that how can it be that it's not triggering when the people on that street are feeling such high blasts in their homes. Do you know what an explanation would be for that?
Well, there can be times when they might feel it from the air overpressure wave that's caused, even though they don't feel any ground vibration.
Do you think the air overpressure goes all the way up as far as College Avenue where I'm living? Do you think that's air or is that ground vibration?
Well, I can't really tell because I don't know where you live, locations of quarry, but vibrations.
You know where College Avenue is? And College Avenue is off of 50. You go up 51st Street from the quarry and you hit College Avenue.
Was that to the north?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly where that is, no, because I don't go that way.
Well,
1 mile.
Rawson Avenue is 51st by the quarry, right where your business is. And if you go up 51st by Sendix, it's the next street up.
Mile up. Okay.
Yeah. So air blast, ground vibration up that far. What would be more likely?
I don't know. It depends on. I don't know where you live and what blast you're talking about. All those things are dependent on multiple variables.
Well, the one that most people are complaining about is the one I felt, and so I was just curious what...
From Monday?
Yeah.
Then it most likely would have been air blast because that blast was on the south end of the quarry.
How far from
the south end would be make it at least 2 miles plus from my home. Then.
Yeah.
The air blast can follow 2 miles?
That I don't know.
Yeah, that would be an interesting to see how far an air blast can go. So, we have this access to your forms, but there's only 1 month on there. Are there other ones stored there somehow, or do you just have one and then the rest of them go away? Because I couldn't find a method to go back and get. Remember, I sent the email and asked you to send the other document.
Ones that I've been sending in?
Right. I did go online to look at VibraTech and where this is, but there was only just the 1 month there. I couldn't, go back. There was no next button. There was no, previous. There's just that one that's there. So is there...
When you go on to VibraTech's website?
I don't know whose website it is, but whatever link is for Payne and Dolan's data... You know, when you sign in under Franklin.
There should be dates up on top.
I couldn't see that on.
But I provided all that information this year, right. Too. But I'd have to sit down and show
you. It would have saved me the, having to ask you for that. Alderman Barber.
I have all that information, and I'm thinking that we could give that to you and maybe make up a chart. I don't know how we get Santec up to speed with what your speed is, because you're giving it to us almost a week later. But I have all the data that you've supplied us, and I think we could start doing an analysis that compares Santec, the spreadsheet kind of a thing, that compares your numbers to what they have or what they're providing us. And I know they came on this a little late, but your information is out there already.
Yeah,
so,
and from what I've seen, they've done that for every month since they put their
site. Not comparing directly to yours.
Yeah.
It's all in here.
Yeah, that's what this is right here.
So that's your number? Okay.
Yeah. So if you look at your sheet in your packet, the darker gray shaded area, which I think is a different color, I don't know, it's green or something if you got the color version, the darker shade is Payne and Dolan activity, and then the next one, the lighter shade, is Stantec, and so they are comparing them back and forth. What I was trying to do was take that exact month and compare the data off of that with this, but you can't really compare them. I mean, I just, I'm going through and trying to check things off and going, don't count that one because we don't have a monitor there, and
don't count that one because there's no monitor there, but there's a monitor here, but they didn't blast on that day on that by that monitor. It's just a bunch of jumbled numbers that really mean nothing and don't help the residents. I think it's great. I know you have to monitor because there's a law,